Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Joining me right now to talk politics, we'll get into some of the primary results and other things that are going on right now. Former State Senator John Lamping, a regular on the Reardon Roundtable. Did you hear the news release I read from Mark Carter a few minutes ago by any chance?
Can it get any better in St. Louis County? I mean, what a clown show.
Are you kidding me?
What topic haven't they covered? Like, are they like dealing drugs out of city, county government? It's crazy what's going on there.
I will just say on this one in particular, stay tuned, because I think when some of the details come out, it is pretty juicy. That's even more descriptive than I want to be in a situation like this. All right, so one of the big stories from around here, John, I guess I'm not surprised. I'm bummed out because he was a friend. I've known Rodney Davis for a long time, but Mary Miller, another incumbent in Illinois, faces off with Rodney because of redistricting. Trump comes in, put his stamp of approval. Trump, I don't think, was too fond of Rodney and some of the things he said in the aftermath of his presidency. So you have another Trump candidate that wins and wins big yesterday in that district in Illinois.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that the fact that Trump waited to the very end, it tells you he wasn't super enthusiastic about her, and he didn't decide this race. What happened, I'm quite sure, is that he was made aware of the polls sometime last week, and he came in and endorsed her. And I think that's just unfortunate for Rodney. You know, he got pigeonholed as a moderate. She ran to the right of him very successfully. She is very right of him. And then when you redraw a district, it's really hard. The new voters, maybe they don't know who you are. And so that wasn't a big surprise. I thought he was very much a class act. And when he celebrated her success and told her he was dedicated to having other Republicans win races in Illinois, that was really good.
You know, and I mentioned this earlier because I'm not as dialed into the politics over in Illinois. Annie certainly talks about that quite a bit. But with Darren Bailey winning that race, it seemed to be one of those McCaskill situations where the Democrats were rooting for him because they think he's easier to beat for Pritzker.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's exactly what happened. It happened in a couple of states. They did the same thing in Colorado without that much success, and I think in New York as well. So the fact that the Democrats are trying to pick their candidate on the right in a state as deep blue as Illinois and Colorado and New York, it tells me that they're worried about the general election. Otherwise, why would they go to the bother and spend the money? Now, there's a backstory here because the other candidate in the Illinois primary was the favorite son of the wealthiest man in Illinois, who just announced he's moving to Miami. And so maybe Pritzker was afraid that the resources would be, you know, unlimited. But, yeah, it worked in Illinois. The Democrats got the candidate they wanted, but it didn't work in Colorado and it didn't work in New York. And so, you know, I look at that as maybe they're doing the Claire McCaskill thing, but why would you bother in such a blue state? And, you know, so...
That does seem weird. By the way, John, our phone line here is not particularly good. I don't know if you can put your phone on speaker. Sometimes that improves it because I'm having a little trouble hearing you, unfortunately, which doesn't happen all the time. See if we get better.
How about now? Is it better now?
It's a lot better, actually. Yeah, I would leave it that
way. Right.
I think it sounds fantastic. Any other observations before we get into some of the things with the Senate race from primaries that would have happened yesterday? By the way, I think it's weird that there were primaries yesterday, period, at the end of June.
Yeah, it is an odd date, though. I prefer the primaries being earlier. I really don't like the fact that ours is so late. Ours is, you know, a month from Tuesday. And so it's unfortunate. But, yeah, I agree. It's a weird time. Right before 4th of July, it's not a great time to go vote.
Well, what are you seeing right now in in the Senate race, any kind of shifting going on after the, you know, the Greitens ad? And, you know, I think there's going to be probably more polling that comes out this weekend. The Remington poll that came out that favored Schmidt this week, you know, you have polls like that. But then another one comes out that says Greitens is in the lead. I had Vicky in the studio yesterday. We're down to 5 weeks, less than 5 weeks from yesterday.
That's right. What there, no poll is going to show anybody breaking away at this point in time. And if it does, the people that have that poll aren't going to tell you because they're trying to execute their strategy. There's a month ago, there's three contenders. If Trump does not stay in the race, then it's up to the individual campaigns to get it done. We look at the Schmidt campaign. The Schmidt campaign is very well organized, very well run. They probably have access to the most money, and I think they would prefer that Trump either endorse them or stay out completely, of course. And I think there's a chance, there's even a chance that Eric Schmidt could get his endorsement. I think Eric Schmidt has the resources and the connections to have, you know, a universe of people lobbying Trump pretty extensively. Vicky's supported by the Blunts and by Bond. And so her resources are there, but not to the same degree as Eric's. Her campaign really hasn't changed all that much. She is who she is, and you know, it's a nice person. And you know, Greitens will not go away. He won't go away in the polls. And you know, I'm getting a lot of calls about his events. He in person is in tremendous form, and I'm hearing from people from other sides of the aisle that are saying, "Oh my God, I never knew he was this good in a physical setting." And so he's not going away. But I think Greitens will need Trump to win, and I think the other ones can win without Trump.
Well, and you would have to think, just based on what you said with Rodney and Mary Miller, I mean, Trump's probably not going to step into this thing if you think there's risk that whoever he endorses is going to lose. So he's going to wait till he's very sure.
Yeah, I was kind of on Trump watch this week. In the Ohio race, you know, when he stepped in for J.D. Vance, J.D. was like, he was third in the polls, most polls. And Trump came in with about 5 weeks to go. He moved the needle in Ohio. And if Trump came in this week, he would move the needle. I think if Trump came in and campaigned behind whoever he would endorse, I think that person would win the race. But as time goes on, who knows, maybe he'll do a 4th of July endorsement or something. But otherwise, we're just into like the last 4 weeks of a campaign and who's got the best staff, who's got the best idea, the best arc. And so I think that's where we are.
You know, have you given much thought? I'd like to ask consultants this question, some of the political consultants, because you've been out of office for how long now?
I left in the end of 2014.
Okay. And that was probably, look, you start getting into 2017, 18, maybe even a little bit back then. But the point I want to make is the streaming services are huge now. We don't watch a lot of live TV unless it's sports. And political campaigns are built on these advertisements, which go back and forth on television and radio. You can't tell me that the penetration of those commercials is nearly the way that it was even in the last election cycle 4 years ago or 5, 6 years ago.
No. Political campaigns are they're prosecuted through online social media. So the 2016 campaign, when Trump won in 2016, you recall that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, kind of went offside down somewhere, I think in Dallas or Houston somewhere, and built a whole structure that Trump won that election through Facebook. And because you can micro-target.
Yeah, they micro-target. That's right. Yeah.
Right. And that's how it's done now. So like when, I only see these, Eric Greitens, crazy ad or Eric Schmidt, pro and con. We see those ads. They end up on YouTube somewhere. And they're run. It's interesting because they're usually run on live television in the smaller media markets. So Springfield, the place where it's cheap to buy, you buy a lot of time, Jefferson City, and maybe you don't have as many people on social media. But the money is spent online. It's spent on micro-targeting.
Yeah, well, so they're just not spending as much money on television. They're trying to get some bang for their buck, but the micro-targeting is where a lot of the money is going, which I think is fascinating. I remember I was in a room with former Speaker Paul Ryan years ago when he was trying to get Republicans elected, and he talked a little bit about that and how much information they even know about people. They can know, John, that you're downstairs watching the Cardinals and your wife might be upstairs watching, something else. So they're responding to everyone, maybe even differently in the same household, which is kind of mind-blowing when you think about it.
Hey, Mark, after COVID, with all that testing and stuff, they know your DNA. And they know your medical history now. So, I mean, the online companies know everything about you and everything about, like right now, they know I'm in Defiance, Missouri on a bad connection.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's probably true.
So when they spend, when money is spent in campaigns now, it's very, very specifically targeted. And I will tell you, my experience has been that one of the three campaigns will know by Sunday night, they'll know if they won or lost. That's how sophisticated it is. They won't let anybody know because they'll just go through all the way through the tape.
Right.
But they'll know by Sunday night if they've won or lost.
What is your opinion of what might happen here in the aftermath of Roe and how that might affect elections? Look, I saw one poll that showed that Republicans in the generic ballot actually went up a point. But obviously the Democrats are trying to shift a lot of the attention right now to that decision, to the Supreme Court. Does it have an impact?
Well, what's going to happen in Missouri, and nothing in 2022 because it's too soon, but what you're going to see relatively soon thereafter is you'll see a series of ballot initiatives. And so the pro-abortion crowd will have a ballot. They'll try to put into Missouri's constitution. I don't think they'll go all the way to, like, you know, codifying abortion as a right. They could try to do that. That would probably lose at the ballot. But you could see them micro-target. You could see them saying, well, you know, abortions with the exception of rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Life of the mother is already in there now. You could see, so it'll be that kind of politicization of the issue that'll occur in just about every election cycle. There'll be micro-targeting, and I'm going to use the same phrase, but there'll be that kind of ballot initiative focus that will allow maybe a U.S. Senate candidate or a gubernatorial candidate on the left can, you know, kind of be pro that initiative and maybe pull off a victory. It's kind of like, remember when Claire McCaskill beat Jim Talent on the coattails of the stem cell initiative?
Right.
Yeah, so it's going to be like that in Missouri. I think that's where it'll be. And that's why if the General Assembly gets their act together, they either have to modify the rules around changing the Constitution, or they themselves could put a ballot initiative to put abortion legislation into the Missouri Constitution. Because right now, the trigger law, all that stuff, that's just legislation. So it can be superseded by a change to Missouri's constitution.
So in the meantime, you have these reactions from a lot of politicians, from AOC, from Xavier Becerra, who is the HHS secretary.
HHS has been preparing for this for some time. This is a critical moment in our history. How we respond will speak to how we view the rights, the dignity, and the well-being of women everywhere in healthcare. At HHS, we will leave no stone unturned. All options are on the table. We have made no decisions yet. We certainly would have conversation with the president to make sure we implement his directives to us in trying to protect women's reproductive health care services. But as I said, every option is on the table.
Yeah, and then one of the options is, of course, what AOC is talking about.
We have a worse human smuggling problem.
Oh, that's Greg Abbott. Sorry, I meant to hit AOC. That is not AOC. Sounds different than AOC, doesn't it? Here we go.
I believe that President Biden should entertain expansion of the Supreme Court. I believe that he should forcefully come out in ending the filibuster. And we need to show and demonstrate to the American people that then when they vote to give Democrats power, we will use it to the fullest extent possible to defend everybody's civil, economic, and human rights.
All right, John, that's where they're going. And I think you're going to hear a lot more about that. Will it even come close to being successful?
Well, that's rebellion. If you don't enforce the laws, or you make up your own laws, the HHS secretary, well, then you're just rebelling against the country and the country's laws. I don't know what people do about it, or, you know, do or don't do about it, but that's rebellion, fundamentally transforming the country and a nation. I guess that's what this modern administration is all about. If they pack the courts or they get rid of the filibuster in a forceful way. Look, that's a losing strategy. That's why if that kind of discussion gets out there before these midterms, it'll be even a bigger wave for Republicans. And if that's what we're talking about leading up to 24, whoever's left to lose their seat in 24 will lose in 24. The country's not ready to rebel. That's not where we are. We Biden was supposed to be returned to normalcy, and what do we get? We got. So, I guess to quote Joe Reagan, he said he's dead, and we've got somebody behind the scenes left as the puppet master.
AOC says she told Stephen Colbert it's the responsibility of the president of the Congress to keep the Supreme Court in check. I think it's maybe the opposite. The Supreme Court is supposed to keep Congress and the president in check. You might want to go back to civics class. What you said about Rogan there, though, is interesting. Let me play this. I played this earlier, and, you know, kind of casual conversation, but he's no conservative.
So all this stuff is happening while we have a dead man as a president.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
are
it's
you throwing
not,
out any,
it's not fun.
Any support towards anyone? Or are you going to hold off? And because I know, didn't Elon Musk come out recently for DeSantis?
Yeah. I think Ron DeSantis would work as a good president.
I think so, too. But there's a lot of things standing in his way, mainly Donald J. Trump, right?
Yeah, look, if Joe Biden were your uncle, you wouldn't let him drive home, you know, and you would be talking to his wife about whether or not she's okay taking care of him. And we all know that.
Yeah.
The left knows that. Democrats know that. And until the Democrats do something about him, I just don't think they don't have credibility. And you've seen the numbers. His approval rating with Democrats is horrible. With Latin Americans is horrible. You know, we all used to joke about the best thing for us is to have Nancy Pelosi be on the ballot. Well, look, Dementia Joe is the perfect thing for Republicans. And, you know, for my party's sake, hopefully he stays there.
But what the hell? I mean, honestly, God, it's going to be interesting to watch it unfurl, because what the hell are they going to do? They even you know, walked back a little bit of what Kamala Harris said about him running for sure this week. So it's a mess. And politically, you got Gavin Newsom down there. By the way, I'd beg for Gavin Newsom to be the nominee of the Democrat Party. He's down there taking ads out in Florida, which is interesting, too.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if it's Newsom versus DeSantis? That'd be really interesting. I think some way, somehow, they'll have to get Gavin there. And then it's, you know, if it's Gavin versus DeSantis, then say, well, what state would you rather be, California or Florida?
I think that's a really easy call. If that's the matchup, you don't have to do any more political ads than that. Former State Senator John Lamping, we'll catch you on the roundtable soon.
Yeah, look forward to it, Mark. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!